Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. I'm Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And as we joke almost every week, I always say I have some very special guests on the show with me, and I do. But today I have an exceptional pair as guests on the show because I get to work with them every day. So without keeping you in suspense much longer, I have with us as guests today Mary Beth Stevens, who is the chair of our board and my boss, at least for the year, and Ms. Jackie Butler, who is the vice president of our government relations division of the chamber. So first, let me welcome you both to the show. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedules.
Thank you for having us.
And then I'll tell our audience right now why you're on today. And it's not just to promote the chamber, which I'm not supposed to do, but it's also to talk about something the chamber does. We do a lot of things, but especially now talking about our most recent inner city visit to San Diego, but our entire program of inner city visits. So either one of you may want to begin by talking about where we've been and where we're going and what's going on now. Mary Beth?
Okay. Well, again, thank you for having us here. And it's an honor to be able to speak on behalf of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. Several years ago, the Greater El Paso Chamber did the first inner city visit, and it was to Oklahoma City. And that was in 6 years ago. And the idea was to look for a community that we could learn from that had some synergies in looking at a place where maybe we wanted to be in terms of, at that time, the quality of life bonds were being considered, and we wanted to see how effective passage of quality of life bonds could be in a community. And so staff did a tremendous amount of research, looked all over the country for cities who had had a lot of great success in that area. And the city that was chosen was Oklahoma City at that time. And the synergies involved for us to look at in particular were they had turned around their education system. They had built a AAA ballpark in their downtown and had done a number of other initiatives to redevelop their downtown. And all of this came in Oklahoma City became a reality because the community decided to invest in themselves. They were in, to be honest, very, very dire straits. And they said, look, we either basically shut down as a city or effectively shut down, or we invest in ourselves. So they taxed themselves. They had a very, very clear plan to invest in both education, arts, development, business tax incentives, lots of other things. And we were able to go visit Oklahoma City, hear from their leaders about how that process basically went. We were able to see the great success that they had with their ballpark. They also built an arena that ultimately housed the Oklahoma City Thunder. They invested in a number of cultural opportunities, including building, it's like a biosphere, kind of an internal garden, if you will, downtown that's just phenomenal. They created a mini faux river walk that's spectacular. And then importantly, they had their new ballpark, and they were able to talk to us about how that ballpark in particular was a driving force for economic development in the downtown and spurred a lot of growth. And they had a lot of other fortunate things happen in their economy. Certainly oil prices went up and helped their economy, but none of it would have happened without their investing in themselves. So in any of, long story short, that was the first place that we visited. It was inspiring. It was it just ignites your imagination about things you can do. And then we thought about, making this more of a regular part of the chamber event. So staff really took that and went with it. And I'll turn it over to Jackie to talk about how we took that first visit and made it. Now it's a regular chamber opportunity.
It is. And before you begin addressing some of these things. I think it's really important for our listening audience to know a little bit more about the state of mind that you mentioned, Mary Beth, in Oklahoma City, because for those who have forgotten, there was this horrific tragedy with a federal building that was blown up, and the community completely lost their self-esteem. And they really were at a point, as you put, where they had to make some decisions. Are we going to continue to allow what happened to determine our destiny, or are we going to do something about it? And then I think maybe the other point that was made while we were there that I want you to talk about, Jackie, because it happens everywhere we've been so far, is that one thing that's occurred in that city that kept it all going was a commitment by the elected leadership in that community after they changed administrations to not change direction and stay focused. So with that, why don't you take over from there?
Sure. So the trip to Oklahoma City was a first for the chamber, and it was a very successful initiative. And I'd like to point out that a key to the success of that trip and the ones that followed were the attendees from our community who participated. And so the chamber tried to get a really broad cross-section of leadership from El Paso to attend in order for us to be able to come back to our own community and affect change. And so we had elected leadership and really strong leadership from our other partner organizations in the community, and school districts and the community college and UTEP were all involved in that first trip. So, without the attendees, you could come back and not have very much of an impact. So we focus a lot on that aspect at the chamber. And we did that also when we decided to pursue another trip. And our next one was to Nashville. And that was 2 years ago. And really the person or the reason we decided to travel to Nashville was because there was a lot of discussion about economic development in our community at that time. And Nashville was really topping the charts all across the country on their economic development initiatives and how successful they were at the time. So we visited that great city, and these trips really are an opportunity for local chambers to work together. So for the El Paso Chamber, the Greater El Paso Chamber was working with the Nashville Chamber to coordinate this trip. And we focused on downtown redevelopment and economic development while we were there. And it was a hit. We also solicit sponsors for these events, and without our sponsors, we really wouldn't be able to put these really great initiatives and trips together. So coming back from Nashville, we learned that we really have to invest in ourselves, as we learned in Oklahoma City, but also invest in our quality of life and quality of place. And that's really the lesson we learned in Nashville.
Let me interject for a second, because you just talked about these two cities, and there is another thread that, as an observer, I was so taken by. And this is bold. This is really bold. And by the way, El Paso, I'm going to give all the taxpayers here credit, because they made that commitment to do the same thing with our bonds that passed, right? And that was the timing-wise. That was right before the vote by the taxpayers for the quality of life bonds when we were in Oklahoma City. And they did something in Oklahoma City. You mentioned the Thunder. They built that arena without having a tenant. Now, timing's everything, and we all know what happened historically in Seattle and how they were able to recruit that team to Oklahoma City. But then we fast forward to 2 years later when we went to Nashville, and they built their arena without having their hockey team.
They also
Talk
built,
about faith.
They also built an NFL stadium without an NFL team.
Without an NFL team.
In Nashville and also in Oklahoma City. To me, this was one of the more remarkable efforts that they did. They have a river At that time, it was a riverbed that went around the edge of downtown. They used to joke that they mowed the river because it was just dead grass. And they worked with the Army Corps of Engineers and got that river flowing again. And what became remarkable about it is that that river, the design of it from the Corps of Engineers was so straight and designed perfectly for rowing. And so not only were they going to use it for recreational rowing, now it is the Olympic training ground for the U.S. Olympic rowing team in Oklahoma City that didn't have a flowing river 10 years ago.
That's a great point. I think we were all taken aback by that. That was sort of almost serendipitous, wasn't it? Yeah. Jackie?
So when we look for cities to visit for our inner city visit initiative, we really take a lot of time talking to our strategic partners in the community, listen to what their thoughts are and what their recommendations are. You know, a lot of times an organization is already working with a different city or their counterparts in a different city. And so it's just a matter of finding out what other organizations are doing at the moment and how the chamber can contribute to their efforts. And so that was very much the case for Nashville. Our city's economic development department was already working and looking at Nashville. And so it made a lot of sense to visit there. And it was a great success. And I think everybody who went came back with great ideas about how to move El Paso forward. And really one of the biggest lessons learned there, as you mentioned, was you have to be bold and really have faith in your efforts to progress your city. And that's really what Nashville taught us.
Right. The other thing that was a great – it was almost really just put a phrase on what we were all thinking and talking about, but – it was able to tie in the importance of what is described as quality of place, and so with economic development. And so it's not just about can you get a company to relocate because of a tax incentive or not, but they just drove in the point that the companies, what they're looking for in larger businesses are places that their employees want to live. And so they, you know, the common term now is quality of place. And that's what the path that El Paso was on, but it just reinforced that is well spent time, effort, and energy to create
this. That's a great point. And I'll just add, a few weeks ago, in fact, on June 17th, more than a few weeks ago, the U.S. News and World Report released their annual ratings for the top 20 cities in America for quality of life, and El Paso is ranked number 9 on that list. And that's, I think, just stunning when you think about where we were. So all this collaborative work in our community is beginning to pay dividends. We just want our not only our listeners, but all of our citizens in the community to stay the course.
And it's a public, private, and individual. Everybody has to contribute to that effort. And we talk about in terms of our city certainly has made huge strides, city and county, in terms of trying to bring businesses here and with the funds and our tax dollars creating that quality of place. And I think we can all see that in so many of our different things. And then businesses themselves, too, are taking risk and investing. We've got new hotels downtown. We've got the new park. We've got all sorts of things that are just people say on a regular basis, you can't recognize El Paso. And it's true. And then individuals, I think it's also it's starting to hit home that it's important. Everybody has a role in that, in how they carry themselves, how they hold their businesses out, how they represent our community when they're here, when they're afar, et cetera. And I think it's infectious, and it's proving great results.
Great. Well, actually, it's perfect timing because we want to devote the rest of this show, now that we've set up the stage, for you two to talk about the trip to San Diego, why we went there. You know, I have people come up to me all the time. So what do we have in common with San Diego, Richard? It's the Pacific Ocean, right? It's a vacation destination. Please.
So the process for selecting San Diego for our third inner city visit was rather extensive. We surveyed the the attendees who went on the first two trips first to see if they had any ideas, having been on the trips and understanding, you know, what the focus was, where they would like to go next. And so after surveying some of our members and the attendees who went on the trips, we narrowed down a list, a short list of destinations that we could go to in 2016. And then we started reaching out to other organizations within the community to really understand if they had any ideas or recommendations, or if they were working with any communities outside of El Paso. And to our surprise, it was surprising, but there was a lot of energy already being spent in San Diego, a lot of El Paso energy in San Diego. And so we knew that the Borderplex Alliance for Economic Development was already working with their counterparts in San Diego. We learned that El Paso Independent School District was already working with the University of San Diego on different initiatives. The Hunt Institute for Economic Development was already working in San Diego. So after talking to a few people, and also knowing that the AAA affiliate to the San Diego Padres was the El Paso Chihuahuas, it became very clear to us very quickly that San Diego was the place to be. If you think about, you know, demographics and maybe, you know, landscape, you wouldn't put San Diego and El Paso together naturally. But in this case, we felt very strongly that we could learn a lot from San Diego and really build on some of those relationships that were already established between the two communities.
Mary Beth?
Well, and I think Jackie's exactly right. At first blush, you wouldn't think that we had a lot in common. But what we look for are areas that we want to grow and that are important to and sometimes unique to our communities. And there were some very obvious ones. The military presence in San Diego is very, very large, as, of course, our Fort Bliss has such an important role in our community. Naturally, we're both on the border, and how we interact with our sister cities is hugely important. Education is kind of a standard, always important. Clearly, in this community, it's getting the attention that it deserves. And so we're looking – what's great is our educators are looking at other communities that have done a lot of innovative things. So we have a lot of synergy in that respect as well. And then a very interesting one was in the healthcare area. There have been initiatives, healthcare and health insurance coverage, if you will. There have been a number of initiatives in an initiative in San Diego that's proven to be very, very successful. It's called SIMSNA. It's SIMNSA, and that is a healthcare network and provider that is cross-border. So people in San Diego can walk across the border to Tijuana and get care and use their U.S. health coverage there. There's a basically a carve-out for them to do so. And so looking at the pros and cons of that, and it was a fascinating system that they have set up, and in general viewed very, very positively. So things like that, it inspires you to think, is that something that would be good for our community? So we can bring that back. We can talk to stakeholders on both sides of the border and see, you know, is that something that we'd want to pursue? It would take That one in particular would take lots of effort, but that's where the beauty of being able to see somebody who's already done it is you get the lessons learned, and you can save yourself quite a bit of time and energy to see if things are even a remote possibility.
In that particular area, I believe it would require state legislative action, right?
It would. It would require a carve-out. They've done that in the past. Not necessarily – they haven't done it in Texas that I'm familiar with, but they've done it, obviously, in California has made it work. And so it just lets us know that things could be a possibility. And I think that's the key to these trips is that it reminds you to never be limited in what you can hope for or expect from your community. And that you should think big because And when you get out of your own community and see what other people are doing, it's great. What we like to say, too, is that now people are coming to El Paso to do the exact same thing. That's probably more of a closing remark, but it's great because it's important to be challenged, and that's what these trips do.
Well, last week I interviewed the El Paso ISD leadership, and one of the things they pointed out to me is that now people from all over the country are coming here to learn from us about what we're doing well. In fact, he spoke in detail about the commitments by the Gates Foundation that they have placed there's something like 16,000 school districts across the United States, and they placed El Paso in the top 1 percentile of what we're doing in education. So that speaks to what you're talking about. As we run a little low on time, I'd like to really stay focused on a couple of things, not the least of which is the importance of our cross-border trade.
Sure. Well, I wanted to just, so you have an idea, the listeners have an idea of what we do on these trips. I'm going to, in 30 seconds, kind of go through an itinerary. So when we get on these trips, they're jam-packed. This one was 2.5 days. We were met by the mayor of San Diego, gave us a welcome, talked about a few of the important things to him and what's going on in their community. Then we visited the Qualcomm Think-A-Bit Lab, which is a innovative space created at Qualcomm for 6th through 8th graders to come in and be inspired and to go on and hopefully be inspired to do more in the field of STEM and STEAM, really, that they're focused on, and show them, the children there, some possibilities. Those are ideas we've already brought back and people are taking a hold of here, and there's some good ideas. That'll be another show, I'm quite sure, of some things that have been spurred from that. We, like we mentioned, talked about cross-border healthcare and network. We heard directly from the founder of the program. It's more than a program, the hospital, the Simsna Hospital Network there. Then we had a special treat. The Brad Taylor from the Chihuahuas arranged for us to have a tour of Petco Park. And not only a tour of Petco Park, but we got to meet with some of the leaders of the Padres administration. And in particular, the one that was quite fun was the gentleman who actually designed Chico, the logo. And we got to share with him how important that's been for our community and quite a success. He obviously knows that. We heard from the next morning from a doctor of sociology to talk about how San Diego created such an innovative economy. Again, that could be a whole nother show, just fabulous information. Then we spent time with what their organization, the Smart Border Coalition, and that it was absolutely key, learning how they work with Tijuana so closely hand in hand on advocacy efforts, both in Mexico City, both in Sacramento, both in Washington, D.C., everywhere they go together as a community and show their strength. Then we also spent time with the San Diego Association of Governments, learning how everything that they do requires not only cooperation but massive coordination, and it saves them time and money and makes their community more efficient when they're building infrastructure, especially along the border. I know I'm going very quickly, but then we also got to hear from Jerry Sanders, the former mayor of San Diego and the current CEO of their Chamber of Commerce, who happened to also be the former police chief. And during quite the height of violence in Tijuana back in 2008, 2009, who stressed absolutely the importance of supporting your community on both sides of the border, always, especially in hard times, and to not just talk about it, but to go there and be there physically present.
Yeah. Actually, Jackie, touch a little bit on that, because one of the things that Mr. Sanders shared with us that we're trying to incorporate now as we work forward to building our regional partnership with the offices that they have, the shared offices in both Tijuana and San Diego?
Right. So we learned that San Diego and Tijuana have really established a very, very good working relationship at all levels of their communities. So when the mayor of San Diego welcomed us, he told us that his office has staff in Tijuana who was there on a permanent basis, who are in the Tijuana mayor's office and have an office space there. And likewise, Tijuana leadership have office space in the San Diego mayor's office. So you can see from that level that they are very well connected. But every engagement that we had in San Diego really, really struck us with how ingrained the two communities are. So the San Diego Chamber of Commerce has staff that's dedicated to working on cross-border issues and international trade issues. And when we met with the Smart Border Coalition, we heard from maybe six different organizations who work on cross-border issues alone. And so it was a really big takeaway for us to see how established that relationship is.
I see we're running out of time. Dennis has given me the cue. I do want to emphasize one point of many great points about what the two of you have covered. The one lesson I think we all took from that, including the people in San Diego, was how much more effective we could be as a border region going all the way from San Diego to Laredo if we begin to going to Mexico City and to Washington to advocate together with each of our sister communities, which I think is important. Some closing thoughts from each of you before we wrap up.
Really, it's just, the purpose of these trips is really to learn best practices, but also to bring together community leaders and stakeholders around a common issue and to have similar areas of focus. And so for the chamber and our volunteers, it's really important that everybody is able to go on these trips together, see the same things, hear the same things, and be able to come back and impact change in our community.
Thank you. Mary Beth?
I would echo those thoughts as well. It's always fabulous that the city and the county both invest time and resources to participate on these trips, as well as the school districts. And it is an investment. And I think it's very, very well spent time. And what's most important is what we do with that information when we come back. You can't just go on the trip and have a conversation about it. You have to actually take those ideas and implement it. And so that's what we're doing now. And so we'll be working with both the attendees and those that we've been able to communicate with and how to make some of those positive things that have happened in San Diego a reality in our own El Paso way here.
Well, I want to thank you both for being guests on the show with me today. It's been a delight for me. As I am wont to do, my closing comment to all of you listeners is you're listeners of KTEP and NPR. That means I don't need to sell you on the value of KTEP. What I do need to do, though, is remind you that if you're not a member of KTEP, we want to encourage you to join for however little or however much you can afford by calling 747-5152 and making your pledge today. Thank you all very much and have a pleasant Saturday.